you come to a decision in terms of who you were going to play at left tackle?
Yes.
Is it still going to be Big V?
Yeah, you know, we had conversation. We being myself, Stoutland, Frank, Reich had conversations earlier in the week, and you know, we want to do what's best, obviously, for that group and for us offensively. And really, right now, Lane Johnson is playing extremely well at the right side. Didn't want to disrupt two positions, so it made sense to keep V over on the left side. No, you know, and it's hard to get past this game, quite honestly. So I haven't, that hasn't even crossed my mind yet. You know, it's a great question because it's, you know, where we are and way that where they are. Listen, this is a good football team. And again, you know, they've been in some close games, had a chance to win some of those games. So it's a good football team coming in here, you know, and it is my job to make sure that you know, I hold these guys accountable, kind of keep their feet to the fire, myself included, coach and staff included, and guard against any letdown. You know, it's you know, we've got our own issues obviously that we're trying to fix and correct each week, and we need to focus on that and make sure we're doing things right on and off the football field, because it can be, and guys, coaches included, can just begin to sort of. You let little things slide, you know, and we'll worry about that next week, or we'll wait till the bye, or we'll do, you know, you can't do that. And so just keeping these guys detailed and you know, honed in on their responsibilities is the key.
It might rain pretty heavily Sunday. Do you factor that into any kind of game plan prep?
Not necessarily the game plan prep, but obviously going into the game, knowing that it could rain, it might change, you know, how you call the game just a little bit. Just depends on the amount of rain, but it's something too that, you know, we don't let it, try not to let it be a distraction for us. Okay, we know it's going to rain, so we still have to go play and execute, but it doesn't change necessarily the way we game plan, per se.
How do you think Carson will handle if it does rain that much?
I think he'll be fine. You know, I mean, we just got to make sure we secure the snap, obviously, number one, and then, you know, ball security on handoffs, things of that nature. You know, it just becomes a little more point of emphasis. But, you know, he hasn't played in a ton of bad weather games because he obviously played in the dome, you know, in college. But he it doesn't bother him, too. He's lived it, and you know, he's had to live in the cold or the snow, the wet, you know, the rain. So he should be fine. Obviously, the rain is usually the hardest. I'd rather it snow than rain, you know. So anything rain, sleet is pretty tough.
As I'm sure you know, this past year and a half hasn't gone the way Michael Kendricks would have wanted. Gets an opportunity here. What kind of chance is it for him now?
It's a great opportunity for Michael Kendricks, and he's been a big part of the success on defense already this year, and you know, I know his role is limited because of the style of offenses. You know, a lot of nickel and dime personnel on defense, and you know, obviously he was the guy coming out, but now this is a big opportunity for him, and fully expect him to you know, rise to the occasion, just like Big V, obviously, you know, he's going to have to, you know, just again detail his work, but this is a great opportunity for him. Michael? Yes. Yeah, it'd be fine. Darby's getting better. He'll be listed. He's questionable, obviously, going into this game. But he is getting better. And, you know, he did doing some more football stuff, getting more reps out there and getting a little more. His biggest thing right now is just getting back into football shape.
You know, you still have Jordan Hicks on the roster, haven't moved into IR yet. And there was also a report that you guys were looking to poach a tight end from the Cowboys. Can you confirm the accuracy of that, and what are you going to do in terms of filling that roster spot once Hicks goes to
Jordan, we haven't made that move yet, you know, on that one. But, you know, on the other, you know, listen, I'm not going to speculate on other players and talk about other players on other teams, but, you know, I will say this, and you know this too, is that, you know, our guys are constantly looking, you know, opportunities are there, you take advantage, but at this point we're focused on the Niners and moving forward that way.
Let's pick up a big concern right now. Are you not as good as you were in that when Sproles was still part of the team?
Our backs have gotten better, really, and offensive line's gotten better, actually, with blitz pickup. And it's just a lot of it's just recognition and hearing the call being made by the center or the quarterback. So I feel like Wendell and Corey and even LeGarrette have done, and Ken, you know, these are sharp guys, and they understand. And sometimes it happens extremely fast. And, you know, the backs are in a tough position, and quite honestly, because they might have, if they're lined up left of Carson, they might have to start left, but then they got to scan all the way back to the right. So things are moving extremely fast, and they had a really good week this week of blitz pickup, because the Niners do have a they're very active on third down with some of their line games and stunts. So they've done a good job this week.
Doug, when you were first assembling this coaching staff, why do you want to retain David Bentham?
You know, prior to me being hired here, obviously the Eagles special teams units were always one of the top two or three units in the, if not number one in the league at the time. And you know, anytime you can, you know, keep that continuity with a coach and not have to change, it's so beneficial. And the way he coordinates the special teams, the way he practices, the way he, you know, prepares these players, and everybody's involved. That's one of the things that's probably a little different here, is that all the players, I mean, you're seeing starters out there, you know, playing and doing whatever it takes to you know, make that unit work. And he does a great job of schematically putting guys in the right positions and the way he, you know, conducts his meetings. So very thorough, energetic guy that always has one of the top units in the league every year.
I'm not sure if you saw that. Joe Flacco took a big hit when he was sliding. What's the message to Carson Wentz in that situation, and you want him to get down and close?
You know, it's tough. You know, Joe was obviously trying to get the first down, and I get that, you know, and it's just one of those plays. I know the league's trying to, you know, eliminate that play. It was a big, tall quarterback sliding and, you know, a linebacker hitting him high. So it's unfortunate, but at the same time, it's going to happen, you know. We just address it with Carson and all the quarterbacks that, you know, yeah, we try to, you know, try to get the first down best you can, but probably the most important thing is protect yourself and try to get down maybe a tick sooner. But, you know, some of those plays are just unfortunate and they're going to happen.
Big B stepping into the starting lineup. Who's the top backup tackle now? Who's the number one reserve at tackle?
Yeah, so Isaac would be the backup there, either side, you know, in this case, and would go with that.
You and Frank obviously deal a lot with Carson, but Flip is there, you know, on a day-to-day basis, hour-to-hour basis. What kind of role has he had in Carson's maturation in the second season?
Really everything. You know, he's the one that's conducting the meetings. He's the one that's conducting the individual, you know, practice portion. He's with these guys more than Frank and I are. I sit in on the meetings and you know, when we're watching film and things like that, and Frank's in there. But listen, it you know, we talk about having one message, one voice, and obviously John does a great job of relaying anything that I might have to the quarterbacks, and we keep it consistent and constant that way. Frank's the same way. And I feel like it's important that we're all, the three of us really are all on the same page, so that they're not getting, you know, mixed messages on what to do or how to execute a play.
Doug, head coaches are often labeled as control freaks. In allowing Carson Wentz to implement plays from his college days or have the type of control that he does at the line of scrimmage, have his imprint on the offense, I mean, how hard is that as a coach, and why have you found that important?
You know, I think it goes back to the days when I played and having guys like Marino and Favre and Jim McMahon and the guys, Steve Bonos, the guys that were sort of ahead of me in the pecking order, just listening to them talk and dialogue with the coordinator or the head coach, if it was an offensive coach like we had in Green Bay, just listening to them talk and dialogue about plays and during, even in game situations, I think that's where it all started for me, is just being able to listen. My biggest thing, I think, with the whole thing is one, I, I welcome the ideas. I mean, you could draw a play on a card, and I'll welcome the idea. But it has to fit what we do. It has to fit our personnel. It has to fit our personality, in order for me to sort of say, "Hey, this could be a good play for us." And it doesn't happen all the time. It's not like every week, you know. Hey, he's bringing us a dozen plays, you know, from college. But it's just so happened that the one play that he had success, you know, in college with, we were able to implement it, and it fits what we do. And then there's other things that we've sort of developed with Carson and our guys that they're good at. What routes are they good at running, you know? And it's all based on what we brought last year, or what I brought last year when we first installed this offense, and then we just tweak it and make it work for the type of guys that we have.
Doug, you talked about the special teams and the success you guys have had. How much of that is credited to Donnie Jones, not just as a punter, but, you know, new long snapper, new kicker, and it seems to be pretty seamless.
Well, you know, you can't have quality teams without a kicker and a punter. And, you know, your coverage units obviously have to be good. But, listen, with a punter, and in Donnie's case, he's punted for a lot of years, being able to trade out that field position is crucial. Even when you're punting around midfield and you can back a team up inside the 10 or the 5-yard line is huge, and that just helps your defense, obviously, and then eventually your offense. So, and then having a kicker that can kick the ball out of the end zone or kick long field goals or whatever it might be. But in Donnie's case, the way he punts, the type of the style of punt he can do, he's really, really has helped us, and that's a big part of, I think, a lot of the success they have on teams. Okay, thank you.